Good afternoon. My name is Mark Evans of Liverpool John Moores University. I am a cybernetician, very much in the tradition of Stafford Beer, who is a hero of mine who I've been studying for about 10 years. So here goes. I should warn you, this presentation and the football angle is an effective load test of the viable system model, Stafford Beer's viable system model, hereinafter referred to as the VSM. It's not about football. Football is a convenient vehicle for a load test. Okay, I come from the very famous city of Liverpool and we have a fantastic football club, but I'm not a footballing exponent. Okay, so let's go with this. So we have an overview. Why? Inside the viable system model, system five. It's notoriously difficult to extract the signature for a policy function of a viable system. That's the purpose of the research. Viability signatures unknown. Who? So we have two real opposing football teams. What are we studying? We're studying the policy function, the transfer function, the control function, if you like, of how they interact and control themselves with respect to each other. System five. Where, of all places, the Scandinavian Football League, I've developed or have been very fortunate to obtain an industrial partnership with a technology company that specializes in this field. The data that I've been lucky enough to obtain has been obtained directly from the Scandinavian Football League. The data has been fully anonymized, but it is fully verifiable and it is real and in high volume. When? It was legacy data. I don't know when it was taken. That's not my concern. My concern is the dynamic profiles that can be elicited from the volumes of data and how we used laser scanners. If you imagine that white slide as a football pitch, you would have a series of laser scanners mounted on tripods about the perimeter, effectively creating a laser net over the pitch. The technology, I know it's a superlative, but it's a very impressive piece of technology. It's capable of simultaneously tracking all nominated targets on the football pitch at the rate of one reading every 40 milliseconds, which is one every 25th of a second, to an accuracy of 1 centimeter. The file that I analyzed was 3.4 million lines long. Okay, viable systems. I'm mindful of the time, so I'll accelerate this.
Actually, given that we don't have one of the speakers.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Very, very well, thank you. Okay, this, and I'm not being disrespectful to Beer wherever we may be, but this is a stylized version of the viable system model. I don't really have time to go through the theory that underpins that. There's copious amounts of literature available on it. But the purpose of this exercise is that viable system is a system that survives within its environment. It adapts to its conditions and overcomes them to essentially assure its identity is maintained in the system. It's a master organizational template for any system that requires organizing. Business system, computer software system, whatever it might be. Beer himself most famously used it for the AND government scheme in 1973 and was abruptly stopped when the coup took place, but never mind. But that is a topology of functions, six functions. It's all it takes for any system to be organized effectively. We, as human beings, are viable systems. The model was developed along neurocybernetic lines, and we are, by definition, neurocybernetic beings. So this has inspiration in human neurophysiology. So when the football players come together to do what they do, they are viable embedments. They are embedments to system one. Yeah, they cause this wider system to be operationalized in its environment. They are what the system does. Yeah? And we have a viable system, viable systems coming together to create a viable system. Viable systems as people coming together, synergizing to create an artificial systemic structure, a team that has to be viable against a viable opposition. Yeah? Okay. So, laser tracking. Transmit, receive. Time at 5 seconds, 0 milliseconds. Position, X, Y. Coordinate data, two-dimensional environment. Another laser pulse. 40 milliseconds later, different reading, same player. But for all 22 players on both teams, simultaneously. These slides really don't transition quickly enough. Okay, so we could say, well, here we have a player confronted with an opposition on another team. He strategizes, that is my predicted path around the objective, that which would seek to thwart my viability on an individualistic basis. So I'm moving around the opposition, the obstruction, and I'm taking readings as I go. Player positions as policy. That's an important consideration, which I'd like you to bear in mind as this presentation continues. So from that point, we're using a simple, heavens above, learning loop. Daniel Kim came up with a single loop learning model, which is in Raul Espejo's book. Observation of the situation, an assessment of that situation, of that observation, a design in response to that assessment, and an implementation of that designed response to that opposition. That's what I have in mind. I'll have a last slide. That is my tactic. That's what I want to do. This is what I'm doing as I'm circumnavigating the obstruction. Oh, hands above. More haste, less speed. So in terms of the meta system of the viable system model, which is the executive of the system, system 4, system 5, and system 3, system 4 is the intelligence function, the outside and then, looking out towards the system, eliciting what's going on in the environment and making informed judgments based upon it. System 3 is the management resource allocation to system 1. What we're doing, what we're getting. System 5 is policy. That's my area of research. It's that which is really important. In all of Beer's diagrams, system 5 is usually depicted at the top, and system 4 and system 3 underneath. The function of system 5 is to balance varietally or homeostatically system 4 and system 5. And the policy is what the system does. I'm talking to you now. It is my policy. There is a transfer function going on in my brain. I'm talking to you because that is my policy. That is what I'm doing. The system is what the system does. Stafford Beer, pure and simple. So with reference to this, what we're doing is we have motor instructions. This is what we're doing. We're moving about. The information's coming in. Okay. At the same time, we're making observations, observing, assessing, designing, and that's what we're wanting. What we're getting and what we're wanting creates a debate inside the system, that transitions through into policy. Policy is is what we do. Policy goes through to doing. Doing sends a signal to the system resources, and in this particular case, I'm doing it now, and I'm walking across the room. That's what I'm doing. It's my policy. It's my motor response to a visual assessment, design, and implementation of, again, with respect to a situation. Okay, next. So, here we go. Signal comes in through this path, wanting, getting, in the case of a footballer, as the person is moving along the pitch, they're getting feedback from their motor control systems. That's informing what this overall system is getting, but they're also receiving a visual signal in here, and that's what comes into here, creates the synergy, issues the policy, sends a signal out to the motors, and the player moves. It's a simple feedback loop, but it's in continual motion. In some respects, it's a concession to PASC's interaction of actors, but I'll get to that in a moment. Next. And here we can see the laser scanner. So this is a tactic. This individual is here. At the next time step, they're here, they're here, they're here. Purely and simply, I know it's a little bit small to see, but that's the mechanism in operation at every stage of their trajectory through the environment. And so it goes, and we take a laser reading at every point. Now, here we have There's only a few more slides. I'm sorry to appear to be rushed. My theory is that if they make a decision at one point, that's with a view to the next time step. So in other words, the difference between deciding what to do and then doing it in this system is 40 milliseconds. Their position is their policy. Their position is what they have chosen to do. I am now going to choose to be across that room in 2 seconds. One, two. That's my policy, but I formed it over there, but I completed it at this point. That's what that's trying to illustrate. So the policy and the implementation is lagged by 40 milliseconds in this system. And the player could be idling. The player could be, running, whatever. I think I've jumped on there. Here we go. Okay, so policy formation lags implementation by 40 milliseconds. Player has Cartesian spatial coordinates. In other words, they've got an XY position on the pitch. Okay. Policy's formed at each coordinate, but the current position or stroke reading is the policy implemented that was formulated 40 milliseconds ago. We can't get a real-time reading, yeah? But I think 40 milliseconds is a concession to Beer's point of pseudo real-time, which is great. So where they are now at t equals 5 is because they chose to be there then, 40 milliseconds ago. The system is what the system does, and that is actually inscribed on Beer's tombstone. The purpose of a system is what it does. It's a small sentence, but it is extremely profound. The purpose of a system is what it does. If it doesn't do what it's designed to do, it's systemically deficient. It's not achieving its objective. So, as Beer observed, what's the point? The system does what the system does. The person equals its policy equals its position in this scenario. Okay. So we have a data capture rate, one reading every 40 milliseconds, to a spatial accuracy of 1 centimeter. For every player on two opposing teams in a 90-minute match, 3.4 million lines of data, real data, not contrived, not pseudo-randomly generated, real. Final score was 0-0. I wasn't intending that as a joke, in point of fact, because there's an important cybernetic concept there. I wonder if anyone can get it. The situation is that the outcome of the match was varietally balanced. They were as viable as each other. They held against each other to the conclusion of the match. So if you consider these as two opposing federations of homeostats, the whole situation was held in balance by those homeostats continually, or certainly to the point where the 90 minutes concluded, which is the important point. I've got other data coming through via FTP, which will allow me to discern any other profiles, you know, for victorious matches or whatever by certain levels. So, you know, for example, a 3-3 would be akin to this. We'd expect the profile to be the same. But you could also have a marginal victory or an emphatic victory. An emphatic victory would be, say, a 3-0. Yeah, whereas a marginal victory might be a 1-0. And so it goes. And there are other permutations. But I'm not interested in the numerical outcome. I'm interested in the dynamics and what it tells us about viable systems. So, as I said, the outcome is varietally balanced. We're nearly there, folks. We're nearly there. So, each player is largely autonomic. The function of a manager inside a football match has no direct control over what actually happens in real time. So, how can he control the situation? Answer, can't. He can theorize and strategize, but he can't control the situation. So, therefore, in accordance with Conant-Ashby theorem, 1970, doesn't have really an adequate model to control the situation. So he's in direct contravention of that rule or that law. Anyway, dynamic interaction and policy formation for each individual and for each team. Now, this is important. An internalized control emerges because if we were all playing football, we'd all be synergizing with respect to each other I see my colleague over there with the ball. I'm signaling by my actions, please pass it to me. And as we're progressing down the pitch, we're actually self-organizing to achieve our common objective. With respect to a proactive opposition that would seek to thwart our aims. And they're thinking the same thing as the match progresses. So the players self-organize. So the role of the manager is neither here nor there. Team is a complex, adaptive, viable system, which is a system of such systems. Players as viable embedments to a viable system. And importantly, in this context, policy is the position vector of the player. And what I've done is I've analyzed that using Zipf's method. Okay, and lo and behold, this is only one, I suggest perhaps you have a look at the paper. This is only one side of the results. I've analyzed the policy vectors of all the players, and as you can see, this line is very discernible here. That actually corresponds to the goalkeeper, who predominantly only moves side to side anyway. But notice the similarity, I'll get to this side if I may, and the linearity across a significant majority of the data. Also as well, a log two plot against a log two plot, or a log-log plot, if that comes out as linear, that's indicative of a power law, and a power law, power laws are ubiquitous in nature. They're also a signifier. It's acknowledged in the complex adaptive systems community that emergence of a power law, presence of a power law, is indicative of a self-organizing system. It's a common signature. We've got self, so we've got it there. But the thesis is, I suppose, that power laws characteristics present in policy, power laws are a hallmark of self-organization. The policy belongs to viable systems within a viable system as a collective. And if the team is viable, it self-organizes. The viable system model of that performative, that the performative team maps to, must also behave the same way. It must display the power law. Policy in system five, in the VSM, is difficult to isolate, but we consider that this provides insight. The viable, interesting conclusion, one concluding comment if I may, the viable system model really hasn't been adequately load tested since the Chilean experiment in 1973. I think at best it's only been tested in financial terms, which is an entire contradiction to Beer's aims for it. I don't know of anybody who's actually using Beer's performance indices. So my focus here is to provide an effective load test in real time of two viable systems that are real and in opposition to each other. And I believe that we've managed to go some ways to achieving that. There's other work to do. I've got other data sets to analyze and so forth, but the research is looking promising, and that's it. Thank you for your attention.
I think we have time for some questions.
No, we don't. No. Yes.
What is the conclusion? It would have been stable except
for it worked. The conclusion was it worked.
The coup is a sign that it was not stable.
Not at all. No, the in operation, well, to give you a for instance, when it took them 2 years to do what they managed to achieve, and they did a lot in 2 years, and they regulated the entire socioeconomic infrastructure of Chile, all 3,000 miles long of it. And they had socioeconomic data coming into Santiago and into the president's office with no more than a 24-hour delay. And this was in 1973, before the popularization of the internet. And moreover, they did it all with one computer. Now, Beer received criticism for centralizing power for Dr. Allende, but that's a nonsense because they only had one computer, so ipso facto, as Beer would say, they were centralized because they only had one resource. If they'd have had resources, they would have used them. They had to resort to using telexes. Now, a huge country like, say, the United States or Great Britain or whatever else, you know, the economic data at the time, certainly, I don't know about now, but certainly, you know, it was out of date. In fact, Harold Macmillan back in the 1960s said that trying to run the economy in Great Britain at the time was like trying to catch a train on last year's bus timetable, or last year's train timetable, rather. They were trying to control a situation on last year's data. In Chile in 1973, where this was load tested to a great extent the last time, as far as I'm aware, as far as the literature tells me, they did it within 24 hours. There was a report into the president's office within 24 hours of it being generated. And they were using elementary radio links, microwave, that kind of thing. So yeah, it was proven, but not in a dynamical systems context like this. This is real, this is down to the 40 millisecond tolerance, not a 24 hour period, and there's a huge difference in temporal terms. So it's near real time control, near. Pseudo real time, as I said. Anybody else?
Any other questions?
Yeah? Yes, anybody? Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
So what would it look like, supposing we, instead of two football teams, supposing we had 20 blindfolded people stumbling around on the pitch?
That would be
an... That was the data source. What would it look like when you plotted that data?
If they were allowed to interact. Yeah, if they were allowed to communicate.
They are blindfolded.
Yeah, but they're not gagged.
Okay.
And they're not wearing earphones, so they could interact. There's a mode of interaction, therefore.
Bumping to each other, for sure.
Yeah. But if they conspired, I'm splitting hairs here, but if they found a means of communication which is in itself a realization of self-organization in some way, it's not inconceivable that they couldn't organize themselves in some way or other, and it would depend on whether or not they were still amenable to trying to put a goal in to the system. It would be interesting, in fact, to analyze teams of visually impaired football players, because that would be an interesting test case. Yes, yeah, that really would, in fact. Yes,
it
mental note.
To your work,
yeah. That would be an extraordinarily powerful and interesting test case. I will agree. Yes.
My question is actually very related to what has been asked now.
Okay.
Thinking we were discussing about self-organization and using statistical methods.
Yes.
From statistical mechanics.
Yes.
To define self-organization. So we have a team of people who are randomly moving around in a pitch.
Hmm? Yes.
That are not interacting, so we have a certain amount of entropy. And the entropy that you should measure in the systems is just such a wealth of data, should be actually lower than expected.
Yes, but the difference between a physical system and this is that this is a teleological system and its purpose is implicit in its actions. So they have literally and figuratively a direction, a purpose. Through varietal space, through state space.
Okay.
You know, so I take your point, but that's not the purpose of this. Yeah.
Something in that line, though. So.
Yeah, I'm not. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not dismissing it by any means. I looked at entropy because I've been studying the complex systems agenda as well. And yes, there's some very powerful ideas there, but it's not part of my work. I'm looking at the practicalities of it and just seeing what I can elicit from the data and trying to relate that to the viable system as a test case study.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank you very much.